So, Jed, have you been able to catch up on any sleep over the last few nights?
It's been rough, John, but I managed to squeeze in a nap.
Oh, very nice.
You know, just to re-energize, reboot the system, and get ready for more playoff baseball.
Did you have your bank with you?
No, John. I don't sleep. I don't take a nap with a bank. What are you talking about? Who kind of adult would do that? I was wearing my cap, though. Yeah, my baseball cap.
So much baseball to talk about. My goodness.
Would you say that it's wall-to-wall baseball?
Wall-to-wall baseball.
This is, look, we were joking off the air earlier about wall-to-wall baseball, but really, it's not a very big room. So when you're saying it's wall-to-wall baseball, it's not that impressive. If it was like a stadium and you're saying it's wall-to-wall baseball, first of all, what are even the walls in a stadium? Do they, is it the around the
Well, I guess an
field?
indoor
Are those
stadium.
the walls? Are you talking about the actual structural walls of the stadium itself? That's huge, John.
That's
That
big.
includes like the food area, the toilets.
But you and I, our personalities are so big, we fill that stadium.
Yes, but I am trying a carb-free diet, John.
So this is episode 83 of Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
For episode 83, I was going to go with Justin Turner because he wore number 83 in his rookie season with the Orioles, but also Eric Gagne wore it. Only two players to ever don the 83 in Major League Baseball. So who would you go with?
I'm going to go with Gagne because for 18 months, roughly two seasons, he was the greatest relief pitcher in the history of baseball.
All roided up.
All roided up. Remember, he was going to be a starting pitcher, right? And the Dodgers were like, we haven't too many starters. Let's just make him a closer and see what happens, or at least a reliever. And then all of a sudden, he added like 20 or 30 pounds and could throw 98 miles an hour. And oh, by the way, a changeup that was like 83 miles an hour
right.
that looked like a Bugs Bunny cartoon changeup.
All world. And he attempted a comeback earlier this year.
Yes.
That like he was thrown in the low 90s too. Pretty
You
impressive.
need more than that to make it in the in baseball today.
Yeah. You have to be pushing triple digits.
Unless, of course, you already have a contract,
Right.
and then in which case
Jared
teams will
Weaver.
keep pumping you out, like a Jared Weaver contract. But who's that guy on the Brewers that throws that real light stuff too? Don't they have a guy? I can't remember.
I don't remember. There are a few guys
I
out
can't
there
be
that can still
expected
do
to
that.
know everybody's name on every team.
And you did start talking on last week's episode about the new Clayton Kershaw being the soft tossing, you know, pitching to contact type of Clayton Kershaw, and maybe that was the new Kershaw, but alas, the old Kershaw still exists.
The old Kershaw showed up last night. The new Kershaw showed up in the first game. That's the pitch to contact, no strikeouts guy. All of a sudden, Kershaw with nine strikeouts last night.
He's playing with us, I think, to be honest with you.
I don't know what he's doing. I'm going to tell you, look, this guy's got some mental problems. And I don't mean like real problems like other people have. Just like it's a little bit of a glitch. He's got something going on. He also might be a little bit injured. We talked about this when we were on that radio hit. We were talking about, I just felt like he was going to come through. I'm going to be honest with you. I wasn't expecting the nine strikeouts.
And you probably definitely weren't expecting it after the first inning because he didn't look too good in the first inning.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's but it's Kershaw, right? Like, you got to trust to a certain degree that he's not going to just become terrible. Pitchers don't usually become terrible.
No.
He just went from being like the absolute best pitcher in baseball, bar none, to one of the five very best pitchers in baseball.
Right. And he showed what everybody wanted to see, which is vintage. You know, he was nasty. He was low. He definitely against lefties. He just didn't, lefties can't hit him. Yelich has had a tough time with him. Yelich has had a tough time the whole series,
Yeah,
more or
it's been
less.
unfortunate. I mean, we talked about this at the beginning where he really needed to keep it going. And you know, sometimes players just can't.
Right. Well, basically where we are with this is the Dodgers held serve, and we now go back on schedule to game set six. We'll see what happens with the whole Wade Miley throwing five pitches and ready to
Right. So
go.
for those
Pre-warm
who
up,
missed it
warm up.
yesterday, he and I've thought about this strategy a lot watching baseball. Like, what if you're facing a team that loves to do the platoon thing, right? Like, oh, you got a lefty starter? Well, we're going to put all our righty batters in. What if you just put a lefty starter out for one batter, it locks in the lineup, then you pull the lefty starter and bring in a dominant right-hander?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very clever-ish thing. I just don't know if busting that out in the playoffs is really the right way to go. I think it would be disorienting to the team that's doing it.
But then again, we've talked about anything that could help switch it up, you know, make it a little bit more lively.
Oh, yeah. No, it's totally a legitimate move. It's
Jim Leland did it back in the 90s with the Pirates. Same exact thing. Had a pitcher come out and pitch for, I don't know if he pitched, but he had him as the starter and at the last minute changed the line. No, I think he did pitch. I don't remember who it was, but I think he did pitch.
But I think it's the first time anyone's ever done it for, or like in 100 years where someone just did it for one batter.
Yeah. You would think maybe once through the lineup or, you know, at least to, well, if it was a lefty-lefty matchup to get Bellinger out, it didn't work.
Yeah, that was the other weird thing, was the Dodgers actually started Muncy and Bellinger against Miley. Maybe Miley's the wrong lefty.
Don't know.
Because he's not like a dominant lefty. He's like a soft-throwing lefty.
You don't think of Wade Miley when you think playoff baseball. He doesn't come to mind right away.
But isn't that true of like all of the Brewers starting pitchers who've just been a miracle? Well, they are the ones that have carried the team.
The best pitcher on their team right now is Woodruff, both offensively and as a pitcher. Yeah, he's looked pretty darn good.
Got that home run against Clayton, and he got a walk. Of course, then he turned around and walked Clayton Kershaw. So
Kershaw got two
turnabout
walks, right?
Is fair play. Yeah, he got two walks.
That's
crazy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Fear the bat. They fear the curveball and they fear the bat.
As a Dodgers fan, you have to feel pretty confident where they are right now.
Look, as a situationally, I'm a full-blown Red Sox fan, but I'm also a Dodger fan, right? Because I feel like you can like a team in each league,
and it's
because they never play each other. But we're kind of headed towards somewhat of a nirvana for Jed Rigney.
Yeah.
Where basically, like, my two favorite teams play each other, and I don't really care who wins or loses. And either way, it's sort of the opposite of when the Angels played the Giants. At the time, I hated those two teams more than any other. And it was just like, is there a way both teams can lose the World Series?
Well, I know you're not going to like this, but I feel kind of that way about the Red Sox and the Dodgers. I think the only other team that I despise more is the Cubs, so I was glad that they lost.
But how does anyone hate the Dodgers?
I just have never liked the Dodgers. And it goes
I'm not talking about never liking. I'm just saying, well, how do you hate the Dodgers?
Okay, when I was a kid growing up, I was in the Yankee side of Connecticut. So the Yankees and Dodgers had a huge rivalry back in the 70s, late 70s in particular. So I was a Yankees fan. And I love Steve Garvey, though.
This is the first time this truth has ever come out, John.
I was a Yankees fan because of proximity. I wasn't
Were you cleansed?
My two favorite teams growing up as a kid were the A's and the Pirates. So then
then just sort of like a Yankees fan because
my dad
was.
And because
sort of like how we all root for the men's soccer team from the U.S.
Right.
Well, we don't really care about soccer, but we want the U.S.
Well, to give
win.
You an idea, I rooted hard for the Red Sox against the Reds in the 75 World Series because I hated the Reds. Hated everything about the big red machine. And I recall jumping up and down like a kid because I was when Fisk hit that home run. I'll never forget that.
Are you jumping up and down like a kid when you're a kid? I feel like that's something that you can only do as a not kid. Otherwise, you're just jumping up and down.
I was borderline.
It's like French fries in France. You're not going to or call them French fries. You're in France.
You're calling them fries.
Well, you call them pommes frites. So were you having a pommes frites? Were you jumping up and down like a pommes frites?
I was. I was thoroughly enjoying that moment because I was not a Reds fan.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, my alliances were proximity when it called for it. I used to go to Yankees and Mets games as a kid growing up. So I didn't go to a Red Sox game until I was in my 20s. So that was the first time I'd gone to Fenway. So I was on the Yankee side, although I was 2 hours from Fenway and an hour and a half from Yankee Stadium. We were on the wrong side of the state.
Yeah, Connecticut's that weird area where it splits.
Yeah.
It splits between the two. Same with the Patriots and
the Giants.
All that stuff.
When they play in the Super Bowl. The state is fractured. And it's the same thing happens when the Yankees and the Red Sox play. It's good for sport when you have those type of rivalries, especially in state.
It's great for sport.
So, yeah, I'm not. I don't hate the Dodgers. I don't hate the Red Sox, although my Red Sox hate went after that World Series. I was down in spring training for the Tigers. I think I told you this story a long time ago, that I was 13, 14 years old and was down in Lakeland with the Tigers at the same hotel. It was such an awesome experience to hang out with the players. But the one team...
But you weren't staying with the Tigers.
We were at the same hotel.
Okay.
I mean, hung out with Mark Fidrich as he was cooking on his hibachi, just shooting Birdman. The breeze. Yeah, it was nice. it was a lot of fun. The whole 3 weeks was great. But we were at the stadium early. We'd go every day early, hung out in the Tigers locker room because the... Mm-hmm.
You ever been in a Turkish prison?
Yes. Well, my friend's parents knew the
I feel like we're
secretary.
Reenacting the scene in Airplane all of a sudden. Like, yeah, we were at the hotel staying with the Tigers, and then we were in the locker room. Then we were in a Turkish prison together.
Long story long, the Red Sox, when we were there early, they show up on their team bus, and not a lot of people in the crowd. They're just walking to the clubhouse, and people are asking for their autographs. And Fred Lynn, Jim Rice, and Carl Yastrzemski did not even make an effort. Yastrzemski put his mitt up over his face so people couldn't take pictures. Lynn didn't acknowledge the crowd, and Jim Rice was like, you know, most agitated person and cursing under his breath. Didn't want anything to do with it. And it was the only team in the league that was like that. It was like shocking as a kid to be like, why is everybody else so friendly? All the other players on other teams will come over and sign autographs. These guys wouldn't even let us take their picture.
Yeah.
So it kind of gave a sour taste in my mouth for all things Red Sox after that.
Well, you know what, John? Too bad.
Screw me.
Now I want the Red Sox to win so we can jam another World Series down your throat, you ungrateful 13-year-old kid. Then you'll be jumping up and
just
down like a Pomfrey's.
Just hoping for good baseball. Just hoping for no sweeps. You know, that's the big thing.
Yeah, no sweeps. That's sort of the worst case scenario, I think. Either way, for me, is no sweeps.
Well, I think the Brewers series is going to go 7 because the Wade Miley experiment is going to work so well.
They're going to put him out there again.
He's going to be
like,
awesome.
They announced he was the starter for game 6. Like
during the game.
During the game. Like in the second inning, they were like, oh, yeah, no, this is our plan. Like, oh, you guys are really smart. You guys are clever.
And in the other
series. I just think it's a little overthinking. But we didn't talk about Machado at all, John.
Oh, we did not. And the
we skipped Machado.
The crazy, you know, the character that he has become is this... Like, totally doesn't care what anybody else thinks about him. Kind of lazy. Not his cup of
he's
tea.
Like, he's in Hollywood and he's like recast himself as like the villain.
Yeah. He doesn't care about anything. What was the whole thing? It's not my cup of tea to hustle. Something like that. There was some interview where he was asked, he's like, well, hustling is not my cup of tea. It's like, what?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Look, and even counsel made a comment.
As long as the guy keeps hitting 300, hitting homers, and batting with having a 1,000 OPS, who cares what he says?
Nobody.
Who cares if he slides into second and tries to break Orlando Arcia's ankles?
Well, the bigger thing though is as a fan of the team, you're rooting for the guy that's delivering, and he's been delivering.
Yeah.
He's been very supportive of their efforts, and
it's odd behavior, John. I'm going to say as a fan, it's
and
odd behavior.
He did get fined an undisclosed amount for the "Oops, I tripped over your leg because it was in the way."
Yeah, the foot drag.
Yeah. It's like, really? That was very avoidable. But they made, you know, nice on the field the next time he was on base. So everything was cool.
I mean, it's just the heat of the sport, you know. But I just feel like it's a little like the A-Rod thing where he was running down the line and tried to swipe the glove, you know, and knock the ball loose. Was it Bronson Arroyo, right? Or as McCarver used to call him, Brandon Arroyo. Yeah, so Bronson Arroyo is trying to tag him out, and he just swipes at the glove, and the ball knocks loose. And I mean, it's competitiveness, but at the same time, I don't know. You've been playing the game enough. You should not be doing that kind of cheap.
Well, I made the mention of the Reggie Jackson incident, and both you and Steve yesterday when we were talking about on the radio show, I don't think you guys recalled that.
No, not at all.
It was against the Dodgers in the World Series where Jackson is on first base. There's like a double play ball, and he sticks his hip out, and the ball glances off his hip and goes the runner on first is safe. And it was a huge, you know, the players were, Dodgers were screaming and yelling, and the replay showed that he obviously did it, but the umpires didn't call it. It was such a huge deal in that moment that went on.
They didn't have instant replay.
There was a conference and all, but they let it go. It was such a, but it was a in the moment trying to give his team an advantage. A-Rod's looked like he was playing patty cake. He looked silly doing what he was doing when that happened. But yeah, there's been moments like that that instant replay will never allow those things to happen.
Right.
But that's Manny Machado will be a hero if the Dodgers win the World Series, and they'll always look back at him fondly no matter where he plays next year.
Yeah, I don't really see the Dodgers keeping him for next year. They have Corey Seager to play short. He's not actually a very good shortstop. They have Justin Turner at third. Maybe Justin Turner could go to second, but then they have so much stuff at second, and it's a very fungible position for them, right? They can swap guys out, do this, do that. So maybe just Manny comes in, wins a World Series, or gets them to the World Series, or gets them to the NLCS, whatever, and then just goes on his way to wherever else, the Yankees, or...
Yeah, it's looking like the Yankees now with Didi Gregorius' injury.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's a great pickup for the Yankees, but they are going to have money.
Yeah.
And there are some teams out there that will actually have money that are not the Yankees and the Dodgers, not to make us sound like we're all, you know, East Coast, West Coast guys. A lot of teams are going to have money next year. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, like he would be great on the Phillies.
Yeah.
Third base.
Talk about that. Yeah.
I mean, it's a much better pickup than Bryce Harper for them, but you know, who knows? Who knows what the Phillies are doing? They kept bringing in all those corner outfielders. Maybe they'll have Manny play center field. Who knows?
One other person before we jump over to the Red Sox series. Orlando Arcia's offense. A couple home runs. Driving the ball.
Yeah, and hits. Yeah. Driving the ball. Solid defense. This is the guy where everyone thought this was going to be the shortstop of the future for the Brewers. And really, the last couple years, he's shown signs of it, but not enough. And yeah, at one point he was benched, and that's why they brought in Scope. They brought in a second baseman to replace him. But here in the playoffs, he's done very well. And I mean, I've always thought he was a very good player. Power, speed. He's one of those, you know, he's not quite like Correa or Lindor, but he's like, he could be in that next tier down. So I don't know, maybe this is the signs of that, or maybe he's just having a hot playoffs. So.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Maybe he just needed the bright lights.
Yes. Yes. Maybe the dull lights of Milwaukee weren't quite enough for him.
Yeah, so now he's big time now. He's on the big stage.
Yeah.
Speaking of big stages, Red Sox Astros. Pretty amazing games.
Very fun for a Red Sox fan. But also for the most part, they've been very competitive games.
They've been close games. I mean, it could be 3-1 the other way.
That's right.
So it's been, you know.
Yeah, you delete an inning from each game, and it can easily be 3-1 the other
way. Yeah, it's been a very competitive series. It does not belie the 3-1 advantage. It's been a very exciting series. The pitching hasn't exactly showed up the way that everyone thought it would, but the bats have definitely taken over this series.
Yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, kind of like what you would expect from two of the best offenses.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little pleased with the Red Sox pitching, especially in the bullpen. The bullpen has been, except for that one game against the Astros where they gave up 5 runs in the ninth or whatever, the bullpen has been very good for the Red Sox. And, you know, the bullpen's been okay for the Astros, and the starting pitching has been okay. And these really haven't been blowouts, but they've not been the
2-1 affairs, no.
They've not been 2-1s, right? So it's, I had a feeling that was how they were going to be, but you know, it's baseball. You can't predict baseball.
You can't predict that Jackie Bradley Jr. is going to have a dozen RBIs by the end of the series. You can't predict
this guy's on his way to ALCS MVP
history.
Batting ninth.
Right.
Of course, the Astros ninth batter is Tony Kemp, who's also on his way to ALCS MVP. So
yeah, nobody saw this coming from Bradley. That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, he used to be an offensive weapon, right? And then when he first came up, it was like, oh, wow, where'd this guy come from? And he's power and on base and speed. And then it sort of all disappeared. Like, was it not last year, 2007? So 2017, half of 2017, and then all of this season.
Yeah. He was sub-200 going into June.
I mean, really just his defense has been what has kept him in every game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it's a tough lefty, they'll bench him sometimes, but all season it's been like, nope, his defense is just that good. And we saw last night that, you know, having three center fielders in your outfield definitely helps. It saved the game for the Red Sox.
Yeah, I didn't see the final play of the game, but it, based on everything that I was hearing, is if he doesn't make that catch, they lose the game.
Well, also, if he doesn't make the catch because he dove for it, the ball gets by him.
Right, goes all the way to the
and
wall.
And it's bases loaded and they all come in. But if he's a slower guy, the game's tied because two runs come in. It's two outs, so the runners are going on contact. It doesn't matter how short left field is, which the Astros have a short left field. But, yeah, he made a great diving catch that saved the game. And, you know, the previous inning, Josh Reddick had made a great diving catch for the Astros to save stop the Red Sox from scoring three more runs on a Mookie Betts hit. And then before that, Mookie Betts made a great throw from right field to throw out Tony Kemp.
Yeah, there's been a lot of great defense. I mean, Bregman has been amazing.
Bregman's been incredible.
Yeah, just defensive like, whiz.
It defensively, it's like it's upsetting. Like, oh, okay, well, there's an infield single. Nope, he's out, and by like a step.
Yeah, that play was it. Betts, the slow roller.
Yeah,
that is one of the hardest plays to make, especially when you know that the runner that's running is really fast.
Yeah,
and to just buggy whip it over there as quickly as he did. He's made a couple of amazing plays in the hole on either side, left and right, especially that one down the line in the corner dirt. Throws a rocket across the field. Yeah, he's definitely talk about the bright lights, you know, being shown on him, being shown on Jackie Bradley, those guys in Kemp.
And Bregman has like a 700 on base percentage.
Yeah, and he's not striking out. He's contact. He's had a lot of contact as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a close call there for the Astros last night. And
a real nail-biter, John. Yeah. My nails were bitten.
So you had to be a little bit concerned in the eighth inning when you saw Kimbrel was coming. You had to be like, whoa, why so soon?
Yeah, also, I know that Cora was like, look, let's get Kimbrel in to face the best part of this Astros lineup.
Mm-hmm.
And he proceeds to immediately give up a hit. Then Kemp gets thrown out by Betts. But then the next batter on a two-strike count, Kimbrel hits Bregman. And then you got a runner on first. And then Springer made an out. And then the next guy hits a double. And you got runners on second and third. And it's like, this is the eighth inning, man. Right. You got to go for two innings. And then they start warming up David Price. And it's like, well, okay, maybe David Price is going to be the closer for today. And they never wind up bringing him in. And they just sort of like Cora did the other day when Kimbrel almost lost to the Yankees. Cora just like sat with him and just, you're the guy.
Yeah, he looks brilliant as a result of that. You know, keeping him in, we needed just one more out. We got the out.
Yeah.
So, but you have to be thinking in the back of his mind, he's like, yeah, I don't know if I can. Yeah, you know, he's definitely not going to be available today. That's for sure.
Right.
So who's coming?
And Price is starting.
Yeah. So who's your guy? Barnes.
I mean, the Astros have to win this game just mathematically, right? Like, Verlander is starting for them. Like, there's no way they lose, right?
Yeah,
like,
the Red Sox need a recovery, a bullpen recovery after the last two games, for sure.
Just let someone go out there and just take one for the team, right? Like, give up, like, eight
position
runs.
Players. We need one of those games. Maybe
it's like a two-run lead. It's a two-run lead for the Astros, and of course, it's like we're just going to use position players the rest of the way here. We need the break.
So, how about the controversial catch? No catch.
Okay,
going
so
back.
Right, Altuve with the home run slash out. Right, what was that kid in Baltimore that did that?
Yeah, back in the 90s.
Yeah,
what was that? I don't remember the name.
And it was
against Jeter's ball.
Yeah, it was Jeter's ball, and I think it was David Justice, right, for the Orioles, backing up to catch the ball, and some kid, Meyer, something like that.
Yeah, I think that was the name.
Yeah. Anyway, so he reaches out and steals an easy catch. It's hard to imagine the Orioles being in the playoffs. I think that's the hardest part of this whole conversation. So then Altuve reaches into hits a ball and just pokes over the edge there, and Betts timed it perfectly. I think most other outfielders just wouldn't even had a play on it, but he got up and the ball was going towards his glove, but then three Astros fans decided they wanted to get involved.
The big debate becomes who owns territory over the wall, the player or the fans?
Right.
Because the fans weren't necessarily reaching over the wall. That's a no-no. Right. They were just, ball was coming right at them.
So but that, weren't they reaching over the wall ever so slightly? Like, if we're talking about like breaking the plane of the end zone science here.
Right.
You're telling me that not one of those guys had a finger that went just past the wall?
Don't know. It's hard. They didn't have the angle.
You know what we need? Cages.
Netting that goes all the way around.
And this is not to protect fans from baseballs. This is to protect baseballs from fans.
Right.
Maybe just in Houston. But you know what? It's on whoever designed that stadium. You know, not all, you know, you can't do that at Dodger Stadium. You can't go up the wall and be interfered with by a fan at Dodger Stadium.
Right. Brings the fans closer to the field.
That's actually not true. They have those little corners there that they have those.
Brings the fans closer to the field, but it definitely creates situations for the fans.
Situations, man.
It's part of the game. I mean, Joe West called it right away, and you can't overturn it unless there's definitive, you know, evidence. So that we've
and
seen
based
that
on
out.
his home plate umpiring the night before, that usually should be evidence enough that it was a bad call. This is the thing that's been bothering me the most in this playoffs. I don't think that it's been like, oh, they're giving all the calls to the Dodgers or they're giving all the calls to the Astros. The strike zone just keeps moving all around. They're being inconsistent with seemingly every umpire, with seemingly all four teams. Like now an inch outside is a strike. Now it's not a strike. Mm-hmm. Now something letter high is a strike. Now it's not a strike. And then it just goes these back and forths, like, and from team to team. So it's not like, oh, I feel like this team is getting robbed, but it really just shows up that we just need to use technology to solve that aspect of the game.
But we don't want to use technology from the photog pit, right?
That's true. We don't want to have the other team taking pictures of the opposing team's dugout. That's bad.
But that was it all came out that he was exonerated. So everything's fine.
Or was he exonerated in that way of like, well,
these aren't the droids you're looking for.
Strictly speaking, it's not against the rules. Isn't it more like that?
I don't think it's going to impact the game.
No, look, what he says was he was trying to take pictures of the Red Sox trying to steal signs.
Right, which Cora was a little bit agitated by.
Okay.
Because everybody's looking for some sort of advantage. There are systems in play that, you know, it's like, just let it be. We don't need that. It's a distraction.
Yeah. I mean, look, we're going to do a clampdown here in Major League Baseball. First of all, this is the third accusation of cheating for the Astros this year. Earlier in the year, they were accused by Trevor Bauer of doctoring baseballs to increase spin rate for pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
That is some people's explanation for why Justin Verlander, Gerrit Cole, who's this guy, Presley? I never heard of this guy. Comes over to the Astros, all of a sudden he's got a sub-1 ERA and strikes out everybody and doesn't allow any hits. Okay, nothing to see here, people. Also, Charlie Morton came over and increased his spin rate even more. And so, sure, maybe it's coaching, but then also, if it's instantaneous, maybe it's something else a little, let's just say, like, within the rules, but not within the rules.
And then, but the thing is that why isn't everybody doing what they're doing if they're getting away with it?
I mean, that's the thing, though, right? Do we want everyone doing all that stuff? Kind of yes. Like, if it makes your curveball better, then yes.
Sure.
Don't sit around and
game was that Bauer, after he made the complaint, the next time he pitched, he did something because his spin rate increased. And I think he was trying to prove a point.
Right.
That it's doable, although I don't recall knowing what it was that he did. Was it a substance? Yeah. Was it a, you know, did he talk to a guru the day before?
I mean, it has to be a substance. I mean, there's only one thing you can do, and that's add a substance. That makes it instantaneous. So then the Astros were accused by the Athletics of sign stealing and going through some elaborate thing where they were making clapping gestures and whatever, just like,
dances,
look, I know they're the Astros. Mirrors. They're the Astros, so like they're the world champs, and everyone could get a target on your back and fine. But like maybe the Astros are like, hey, we want to exploit every possible way we can to get an edge, just like the Brewers did with that one batter starting pitcher. Very ironically for Boston fans, this is very New England Patriots-y.
Sure.
Patriots-y. Is that a word? That's like patriarchy, but different. It's very like that, where Belichick takes the rules and it's like, well, this is the rule, but it doesn't clearly say you can't do this other thing. And so he right. does it until they say, okay, well, now the rule says you can't do this other thing.
And then he goes to the next one.
He's like trying to get an advantage.
Sure. Everybody should do that.
I used to do that when I managed softball teams. It drove the other teams crazy.
So the whole Chris Sale thing, is that going to become an issue, you think?
He's just been so fragile for the last couple months. I feel like because he went to the hospital, right? He had some sort of stomach thing, and he was supposed to start game five, as most aces start game one, then game five, but they're bumping him back to game six, which would be another 2 days rest. I don't know. It's a little, they need him. Like all the offense in the world, they need him.
So they're up by a run in the ninth. Does Sale come in today?
No.
Up by a run in the ninth. I mean, not to close it out.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how sick he is. I don't know how weak he is. The thing is, he's weak. So if he's up there throwing 90 miles an hour, what does it matter? If it's not 96, then it's not Chris Sale. It's Dave Sale.
Okay, so that kind of wraps up the playoff.
It does.
There's probably
for
more
now.
We could talk about, but for now we can move on to...
Of course, people are going
to
hear this and already games will have been decided.
It could be next season by the time somebody hears this. So thanks for listening.
That's true. That's true. Some guy who randomly searched something else and got this and is listening to it, unaware of timestamps and how the internet works. God bless you, sir.
So what's Snitker's first name? Dave? Brent?
Brian?
I don't know. Brian Snitker, right?
Is it Brian Snitker? I don't know. I'm going to be honest with you, John. I didn't even know his name was Snitker. I just thought it was like...
Who are the Braves again? What?
Braves manager.
So I know he was sweating it out.
One of those computer-generated ones, right?
He was sweating it out at the end of the season, whether or not they would... Because I think he had only had a two-year deal, and he was sweating out whether or not he would be coming back.
Yeah. And he did good, though, right?
He's
in the running for manager of the year. You know,
they're a few holes in that lineup, and they need some pitching, but they still won their division.
Yeah, I thought he did a good job with that bullpen. I mean, to me, there's the managing of the egos and all that, which you don't really have a lot of with the Braves. And then really it just comes down to how do they handle the bullpen?
Mm-hmm.
And he did a good job. I mean, he had Vizcaino was really great, and then he got injured and then brought in Minter, and then, they had some other nice pieces, and he moved them around nicely, playing matchups and stuff. I don't want to say impressed because it's just like I wasn't unimpressed. How about that?
Well, he definitely had a chance to beat up on the weekend. Although not weekend, Nationals, they had the Marlins in their division. They definitely had some advantages, let's just say, to tip the scale in their favor. And
no reason to fire this guy.
No.
And also there's like six other teams looking for managers right now. Like, do you really want to enter that fray? It's the right move to give him a 2 year contract extension, though.
That's not a big vote of confidence.
I feel like three is the right way to go. You've been there 2 years. You get him to the playoffs. You won the division. Oh, I'm a little close to the microphone there. Sorry, John.
So the Angels are making their managerial candidates take a test.
Yes. What's the deal with that? A 2-hour written test.
About what? The history of baseball?
It covers like human resources questions, managerial questions. It's like a whole thing. It might be the dumbest thing I've ever heard of in a managerial search, other than, hey, you, why don't you be our manager?
Yeah, that is rather interesting that you would have to prep for a test. It's, kind of strange. Maybe it's their way of weeding out folks who are not stat savvy.
Maybe they just don't want to have someone with bad handwriting.
That could be. Never know. And they're also having some news out there as far as their stadium is concerned, too, right?
I don't know about this. What's up?
Oh, their lease. They have a window. If they opt out of their lease, if they don't opt out, they have to wait until 2028. So they're saying, well we're going to opt out and see what we can do. Oh. They don't want to leave, but they want to opt out of the lease and see if they can, I don't know, renegotiate. But that was news that came up this week as well.
Yeah. Oh, good. I'm glad they're going to hold the town of Anaheim hostage. The town of Anaheim, whose name they don't even want to carry.
Right. So we'll see how that plays out.
If you guys don't give us a new stadium, we're going to move the Los Angeles Angels away from Anaheim. Okay.
So the this the next one is the closer O.
Yes. And then Se-Hwang O
is looking to return to South Korea after three pretty good seasons in.
He's still got a year in his contract, but he's looking to go back home.
And he's in his
You know, with Donald Trump solving the North Korea South Korea dispute down there, right?
Right.
Everything's Stepping in, he wants to go home. It's like, yeah, it's a party now. They're getting rid of all the mines, John.
Yeah, they're tearing
like,
down
look,
the
you
wall.
Say what you want about Donald Trump and how he deals with foreign dictators, but they're getting rid of the mines between North Korea and South Korea. I don't care if it's just dumb luck that he's the president when that's happening. That's a cool thing.
Tear down this DMZ, Mr. Gorbachev.
Mr. Un? Mr. Is his last name Jong-un? Like, if you were like, hey, Mr. Jong-un, or is it Mr. Un?
I think it's Un.
Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. I feel like I'm being super racist right now, because it's actually Kim is the...
it's the last name, right? They flip it around. Right.
Yeah. Sorry, Asians.
We're not ethnically...
I'm just a dumb American. Please don't pay attention to me.
Good excuse.
Yeah. Hey, look, when I've traveled the world, I have used that excuse many, many times.
Dumb American.
And it always works. Yeah. People are just like, oh, okay.
Good. Makes sense.
As long as you know, then okay, fine.
So the best news article of the year in baseball. My favorite.
Yeah.
Best news. The Marlins are moving that frickin' statue. Sculpture
thing.
Great
sculpture.
They're going to put it out somewhere outside of the stadium. They're going to turn that into a fan porch, which is great. That is a monstrosity from day one.
Will fans be allowed to shoot at it?
They said they were going to have it go off at 3:05 every day because that's the area code in Miami.
Oh.
It's like, wow, that's okay. That's brilliant. And it might still go off when home runs are hit, but no one will be around to see it because it's outside the park.
Wow.
Like, and I don't know.
What if they just threw it in the ocean and then it's still at 3:05, they just remembered that it was there?
Right. I'm glad that it's being moved. That's a good thing. That's a huge win for Jeter and company. But then you flip that over to the other news that came out was their new logo option.
Yeah.
One of the options. There's apparently six in the running. And one of the new ones that came out was, it's like, if you're going to redesign a logo. Don't take what's there and try to modify it, because it looks stupid.
It looks a little bit like a Marlin trying to have sex.
With an M.
With a letter M. And look, I get it, man. It's 2018, and people are highly sexualized, and porn is commonplace, and Stormy Daniels is an American patriot. And what was that fish sex movie that came out?
Oh, yeah.
Shape of Water,
right?
Mm-hmm. Maybe someone saw The Shape of Water and was like, yeah, let's have a Marlin boning down or dry humping or whatever it is that Marlins do with this big letter M. What a great idea.
And I also don't understand the color scheme. It's like all dark,
right?
All dark colors. Yeah. So unless they're going to go to
dreary,
all black uniforms or dark gray uniforms.
Basically, it's The Shape of Water, but for logos.
It was pretty dreary. Yeah, I don't get it. I'd like to see what the other four are, because they're still considering the same, obviously keeping the one they have. I would just like them to just go back to traditional. Do a traditional move, go back to something that's, you know, Miami, but reflective of the old Florida Marlins uniform, which was really nice. But now we can get away from the softball uniforms developed by Loria, because he's no longer there. We got rid of the monstrosity out in the outfield. Let's keep going. So we'll see. The fish tanks.
The bright future of the Marlins is darkened a little bit by this grotesque logo.
The bright future is still years away.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a long way to go. Okay, starting nine. For Disney princesses drama? I'm not quite sure what that is.
Oh, didn't you hear about this, John?
I did not.
Celebrities have started to come out against Disney princesses, that they teach bad values.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
It's taken this long?
I'm just saying, like, can these people be more, like, just awful? Do they have to ruin everything? They're just Disney princesses, man.
Yeah, they're just cartoons.
They're just cartoons. And there was I won't say which celebrity, Kristen Bell. She felt that Snow White's prince did not get consent to kiss her. And so what value does that teach?
He saves her life.
Yeah, it's true love's kiss.
Right.
The whole point is that the only person that can kiss her, it's not like there was a line of dudes. It wasn't like some gangbang.
They weren't training her in the forest.
Right. It wasn't like running a train on her. It wasn't like seven dwarves. And I've seen that video, by the way. Wow. Okay. It wasn't that. It was one guy who had love in his heart for her. Well, how is that teaching the wrong thing?
I don't know. That's...
Could it just be that sometimes actors and actresses get a little full of themselves and they're...
They just need to be in the headlines.
The importances of themselves. All right.
They're press agents.
In defense of Disney princesses, and by the way, this is not something that Disney takes lightly. There are only 11 princesses.
So they have a lot to stand up against. They have to defend their princesses.
I'm going to mention some names here. You might even think like, well, where is this other person? Not official Disney princess.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this then.
Yeah, here we go. First one, easy peasy. Snow Whit Merrifield.
Okay, yes.
Oh, right. Hey, by the way, starting nine is I take current players and match them up with the pop culture thing. Anyway, next one, Tommy La Cinderstella.
2 weeks in a row for Tommy.
Tommy La Stella with two appearances. That's almost as many as he had all season. next one is Brandon Maurora. Brandon Maurer.
Right.
And Aurora.
What was Aurora in?
Aurora is Sleeping Beauty.
Oh, I didn't know she had a name.
Yeah.
I'm sure she had a name. I just didn't know it.
All right. Next one up. Some of these I don't really know. I haven't really seen, but I just know that they're Disney princesses. The next one is Merida. Have you ever heard of that? Merida?
Mm-mm.
Merida. I think she was in Brave. Did you ever see that?
Oh,
Brave.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Jordan Montgomeryda.
Okay. Good.
Cedric Mullins.
Okay.
Mulan.
Got it.
Tiana, right?
Mm-hmm.
How about Christiana Yelich?
Very good.
Okay. How about Heimer Candelariel?
Okay, I do know that.
Ariel,
one.
Right? Mm-hmm. Sea Princess, a princess nonetheless. We don't, back to our fish sex stuff with the Marlin and the... Shape of Water. Anyway, Pedro Strapunzel.
That's good.
Cody Bellinger.
Yeah.
Bell from Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you knew that too quickly. Was it A. Jasmintor? A. Jasmintor? Jasmine and A.J. Mintor.
Very good. A. Jasmintor.
Yeah.
I like that one.
And last and not least, in honor of Elizabeth Warren, Frankie Pocahontas.
Way to end on a good note. And Frankie Pocahontas?
Yeah.
Didn't have to take a DNA test.
Didn't have to take a DNA test. Also, if you take a DNA test to prove something, and it proves that you are at best 1/64th of that thing, maybe you don't reveal that DNA test.
Yeah, it's
maybe
just,
you don't.
Yeah, it's going to follow her to the end of the world.
I mean, honestly, just she should have just come out and said, our family had these stories and this was the stories we had heard and that's it. And I'm sorry if I offended any Native Americans. Let's move on. Let's talk about the economy. Let's talk about taxes. Let's talk about the deficit.
Well, it sets up for a sideshow. Carnival sideshow. Sure.
I don't think it's the sideshow that she was hoping would happen. I think she thought she was being
feasting
tough
on it. No, yeah, it's gonna.
No,
be...
it's perfect for Trump.
Yeah,
she basically just stepped on a landmine that she put on the ground.
Well, let's move on to Around the Horn. So, since down to the final four, we talked about that last week. Now let's talk about everybody else. You know what do they've got to look for?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
What's next? What are they going to do?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So let's kind of whip through it. So these are just the teams that are not in the playoffs, right?
Not in the playoffs. And then I figure when the World Series is done, we can do
the recap.
What's next for it? Yeah.
So these are the non-playoff contending teams, and what do they need to do to become potentially better than they were this year?
Right. Also, yes, exactly.
So Pirates.
Okay. So the Pirates, I think, need a little bit more starting pitching. And I don't know if they can afford to go out and get a guy, but they have a pretty good farm system. They got Mitch Keller coming. Mm-hmm. He should be up this year. He had a very strong second half down in the minor leagues. And I think you need one more, because Jameson Taillon, he's more like a number two. He's a very good pitcher, but he is more like a number two to me, number two starter. I think you need to get another starting pitcher for the Pirates.
Clayton Kershaw would look great in that gold and black.
Oh, please. Clayton Kershaw ain't going to no Pittsburgh.
I know. But he would look good.
What do you do with Clayton Kershaw? Is he a $35 million a year pitcher for the next 10 years?
The only team that can pay him that and be okay with it is the Dodgers.
Right, because of past clout, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So he's not going anywhere, I don't think. Yeah. He's going to get bigger numbers, but he's not going anywhere.
But will he get so much bigger, John? Like, even if I think he gets at the end of last year,
he's making out better.
Yeah.
He'll say he'll get a 3-year deal for $32 million.
He's not making out with a letter M like that fish was.
Right. How about the Phillies?
I say Machado.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a perfect fit for them, because then they can give up on that third base experiment they're doing with whatever cycling guys through there, mm-hmm. and Scott Kingery and
Franco was there for a while.
Franco, yeah. And yeah, they're not sure what to do with him. Send him off somewhere else. Maybe try to send him to a rebuilding team that could have a little more. You know, give him a little more time to sort things out. Get a A-ball pitcher, flame-throwing pitcher back for him and see what you can pull out of it, you know?
Orioles.
I mean, the Orioles are in the worst situation. First of all, they need to get a GM. Then they need to get a manager. Then they need to just start building. Just draft well, pick up some, you know, wait for all the free agents. Don't sign any big free agents. And just pick up some of the scraps and see if you mm-hmm. can revitalize someone, and then you trade him in the middle of the season or at the end of the next season.
D-backs.
I think they're going to do a fire sale.
Ooh.
Yeah, they got a year left on Goldschmidt, right? Mm-hmm. And then is Pollock a free agency? I think Pollock might be a free agent.
I think he is, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a weirdly built team. I don't know. I think they got to reassess where they're at.
Yeah, and they've got a lot of money invested in Greinke.
Yeah. Well, if they can move Greinke, then maybe they don't have to trade Goldschmidt. And boy, Greinke would be a great piece to trade for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like the Tigers got a lot for Verlander, to be fair, because that is a big contract, right? Like, he took that. The Dodgers offered him whatever it was, 30, and then the Diamondbacks were like, well, what about 35?
Yeah.
Like, what about just go up to 32? Like, what about that even? But nah, it's just $3 million, John. You know.
Yeah, just chump change.
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing. Not in this day and age. Padres.
No more Hosmer-like signings. And no more corner infielders.
No, too many.
You're running out of room, guys. But they got to bring up the young guys and see what happens. And then they have a lot of prospects, man. They have not a lot of people know this. I mean, the prospects guys know it, but they have a deep, deep, mm-hmm. lots of starting pitchers in the minors, lots of relievers, and they're going to have to start bringing them up, and you see what happens. But, like, look at the Braves. Like, the Braves had all those starting pitchers, and almost all of them have done well.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, that's the risk that you take, is that you just never know how it's going to play out. When
it could go the other way. Yeah. It could go the other way with pitchers. So,
Blue Jays.
I mean, they didn't do like a full on fire sale, but like their future is not this year. Bring up Guerrero and, you know, let him begin his hero's journey. That's mm-hmm. what I say.
White Sox.
If I were them, I would wait one more year before they start actually like investing in pieces.
Mm-hmm. Royals.
I mean, they're down there with the Orioles, right? They just got to. I mean, there's a couple of nice pieces, but maybe they even trade off some of the, like, Whit Merrifield isn't as young as Mondesi, so maybe you trade Merrifield.
Mm-hmm.
Just get more pieces, man. Get more pieces. Hope it all comes together in a few years.
Yeah, it is amazing how quickly they went from the top of the heap to the bottom.
Yeah.
Pretty much overnight.
Yeah. It's been quite the cliff they have fallen off. And not really by losing players, just by players just getting right. not as good, but it was
overpaid,
such a
in Alex Gordon's case.
Well, yeah, but still, they still have him.
Right.
But yes, he is tying up quite a bit of their budget for a weak-hitting, defensively solid left fielder. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a bad choice. I think we all thought that was a bad choice.
Everybody did.
We were all right.
Yeah. Tigers.
Oof. I don't know. Who cares? It's Detroit. Sorry. Starting pitching.
Rangers.
Now, the Rangers are interesting because their starting pitching is so bad that their offense is so good. They're one of those teams I wish they would just do like a prospect for a prospect trade, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Trade Jerks and Profar for somebody's young pitcher, and then let's even out the rosters a little
right.
bit, you know?
Yeah, give them a chance to play every day.
Yeah.
Marlins.
I mean, they don't have much left to trade, right? They have Realmuto, who they should trade.
They will
trade. And they'll probably get more in the offseason for him than they would during the midseason. But I would, if I were them, I would just keep the blow up going. They did well,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a team. Some of their players did well, so it's not like it's going to be embarrassing.
No, Straley and JT are probably the two that would most likely be gone and just keep building. They could wind up, they made even more moves, picked up another $500,000 in international slot money.
Yeah, that's right.
So they're still in the Mesa race. The Victor Mesa Jr., Victor Mesa, or
right.
Victor Mesa, or whatever the heck, Victor Mesa. I can't keep track of it. But yeah, they're all in on those two guys, plus the pitcher, Cuban pitcher. Mets.
Well, they need to stop signing left-handed power bats.
Mm-hmm. Too many.
Yeah. But if I were them, I would trade away Mats or Wheeler. Maybe you trade away Wheeler. You get your really nice return for that because you have DeGrom and Syndergaard and Mats or Wheeler. Like, you don't really need more than that.
And if they got rid of Wheeler, they would be selling high because he had a great bounce back. So they would get a lot.
He had a great bounce back.
Yeah. Who else? Giants.
Giants need a complete rebuild. That is a terrible team that doesn't know how to get on base and has such a high... I mean, they got to trade Bumgarner, right?
Old guys.
They get a really, really great return for Bumgarner.
And Hunter Pence is apparently going to go and retool himself in the offseason because he said he's still fit, healthy, in his prime, and he's going to change his mechanics for hitting.
And also, apparently, high as a kite.
About the Rays.
Okay, so this is one of the things that prospect guys know that everyone else doesn't know. The Rays have awesome players coming at every hitting position.
Mm.
Every position. They are going to be monsters. The pitching is not great, but Tyler Glasnow,
they made some
Honeywell should be healthy this year, mm-hmm. half a season of him. Of course, Blake Snell. The bullpen is a little shady. And they don't really have a fix for that. So maybe they just wait for some scraps and try to build something cool in the offseason. But Rays fans should be getting a little excited right around now.
Mm-hmm. Cardinals.
I think the Cardinals just need more starting pitching. I mean, I guess they need a closer too, right? Because they had the whole Bud Norris thing and that worked okay for a while. And then that other things didn't work, and then it kind of worked, but I think they probably, of all the things they need, they probably need a closer. So
but
if you see a closer on the market,
they already made. They got rid of Matheny.
Well, yeah, I mean that's going to
for a whole season
benefit them for years to come.
Man.
But like last year, they were like, "Oh, we need a closer," and they signed Greg Holland, coming off of injury for $14 million, and I think they lost a draft pick too. Like, just one of the worst signings in the history of baseball. For one-year signings, I should say.
Twins.
Twins have money. And who do they spend it on? Who will want to go to Minnesota? I don't know, but they should spend some money.
Reds.
The Reds are worse than I thought they were going to be because Joey Votto is worse than I thought he was going to be. I thought he had a bad year, so I'm hoping he gets healthy and then we get to see some more of that great Joey Votto-ness and not the mediocre Votto.
I don't want to say he's going through the motions. He's making good money. He loves playing there. He doesn't want to get traded.
Yeah.
that he's, you know, it's, he knows the team's not going to be competitive anytime soon, and he's still got, what, 3 years left on his deal, I think?
Yeah. So, yeah, still a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't
know. They need starting pitching so bad. If I were to just start trading, trade Billy Hamilton for a starting pitcher. Come on.
How about the Angels?
The Angels are so close, right? They just need to stay healthy. So first they need to get a manager, and then they need to be not injured next year.
Mm-hmm.
They're stuck with Pujols. They're stuck with a couple of things, but you know, maybe they could shimmy some money around and get themselves a really nice, like a Josh Donaldson on a 1 year deal for them at third base. That might be kind of cool.
Yeah. Nationals.
Wow. Well, I mean, they have to decide on Bryce Harper. That's their, and then everything falls off of that, I think.
It sounds like he wants to stay, and it sounds like they want him to stay. They just have to figure out the money.
But what if you did this? What if you kept him and then traded Victor Robles?
They would get for, a haul.
Yeah, exactly. Or you get that starting pitcher that you're
– Wheeler.
That's a haul. Yeah, I think Robles would need more than Wheeler, but maybe you get Wheeler plus something. I don't know.
Yeah. Jay Bruce. Speaking of left-handed bats.
That would be funny. Also, they're in the same division. I don't see them trading with each other. But yeah.
That would be a nice fit, though.
Yeah.
Mariners, last but not least.
I mean, they're going to trade.
You know that. That's for sure.
You know that. Trading, you know they're going to trade. Yeah. He's going to – I mean, he's got a couple of pieces in the minor leagues. He could trade.
Pitching is,
their roster is a little bit jammed up right now. They're going to have to fix that. They need starting pitching, but they could also throw a little money free agency wise.
Yeah,
you know?
They need.
Or what if they could trade for Zach Greinke? That would be a great trade.
Mm-hmm.
You give up Kyle Lewis and some other piece to the Diamondbacks for Zach Greinke and almost all of his contract.
Yeah,
that's a win-win.
That would be.
Let's lock it in right now.
And they're close. I mean, they're running out of time, though, in the Cano era.
Yeah.
So they definitely need
to. Well, don't worry. He'll
take some drugs.
He'll take some PEDs in the offseason. He'll cycle through and get rejuvenated, allegedly or whatever. Not allegedly.
Okay, let's take a look at what's going on outside the world of baseball. It's time for extra innings. So Sears filing for bankruptcy.
Yes.
That was like, as a kid, the Sears catalog was porn.
Yeah.
With the lingerie section.
With the toy section, John. You mean like kids porn?
Yeah, so little
the
kid,
toy
that was,
section.
That was National Geographic in the Sears catalog. There was like, oh, the Sears catalog is here. Shh, don't tell anybody.
All right. And for all you non-perverts out there, Sears Roebuck has been an American institution for like 150 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like they invented like mail order delivery. Like they're going out.
They were the Amazon of yesteryear.
Yeah.
In the brick and mortar world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're lost in the jungle. Am I right? And they didn't make the transition. They didn't figure out how to do the online thing.
Nobody did it as well as Amazon.
Yeah,
and paying the price. Amazon.
But did I tell you this? Amazon opened up They're opening up bookstores.
Yeah, they've opened up in Seattle about 5 years ago.
Now, what is this? Just like a big middle finger to all the bookstores they put out of business? Is this just like we know this is going to lose money? We're just doing it to show off,
right? Because we can. This is just a little drip in our line budget line item. We don't care. It's all good. Speaking of Seattle and all things Emerald City, lost a very bright star in the horizon in Paul Allen passing away. Huge in the sports world, huge in obviously the tech world, but even probably huger in the philanthropy era.
Yes, big time philanthropist.
Yeah,
so he's like a really good example of what you would kind of hope that billionaires would do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Live a lavish lifestyle, have a great time, enjoy, spend all your money however you want, but then also giving to charities, building foundations that'll be there for decades to come to help others. And also, and we're not just talking about the Seattle Seahawks. Am I right? Am I right, ladies and gentlemen? No, like actual charitable organizations that
he even started
He funded. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, it's like real estate development was big for him. He started a music festival in Seattle just within the last couple of years. It was huge the first year of it, and it's a tech and music fusion type of thing. It just was just overall asset to the community.
It's sure. Is the music festival called Techno Tech Yes?
It's Upstream, the Upstream Festival. Oh.
I was doing a joke, John.
I got it. Tech yes.
Techno music, right?
Right.
Tech yes.
That's good. I like. You might want to trademark that.
Yeah. No, thanks.
Let's see. Kendall Jenner. I don't know anything about this. Stalker keeps breaking into gated community.
Right. So she lives in that sort of Calabasas area, the gated community out there, which I have frequented a few times.
Why is that? Parties?
Just because I know famous people, my friend.
Oh, nice.
But I've not been to Kendall Jenner's place, despite what the police report says.
Maybe it's all those pictures she's been leaking out.
Well, here's the thing, right? Like
tempting these stalkers.
If she's a Jenner, right, then you got to assume Kris Jenner is so excited that Kendall's got a stalker. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like, it's good all for the things that Kris Jenner... It's so great for the brand, right? Plus, it's free publicity because it's like, Kendall Jenner's stalker broke into the community and is out by her pool where she usually is out there using her quality hair care products that you can buy online. Maybe he was attracted by her perfume, which is available at Macy's.
Probably just the nude photos that have been leaked recently. That's probably has
well,
a lot
also,
to do with it.
Also, there's that. But that you know that's the mom. She took them. She's like, she's like, if it worked for Kim, it can work for you.
You too. We just had to wait until you were legal, and now let's go. Time's a-wasting. Take your clothes off.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite things on the when Kanye visited the White House. And whatever you think of Kanye and whatever you think of Trump, I do like that Kanye's trying to make a difference and whatever. And there was, I think it was MSNBC, Kanye is married to Kim Kardashian, right? And someone on MSNBC was doing an interview with Ray J, who, of course, famously starred with Kim Kardashian
made
in her first
Kim
film
who she
appearance.
Is today.
Made her who she is today, exactly. And I don't just mean like DNA, you know what I mean? But I just thought, like, what a wonderfully classy move by MSNBC to feature Kim Kardashian's ex talking about Kanye. A nice, unbiased approach to what's going on with Kanye West.
Kanye's his own set of crazy. We don't need commentary. He just needs to do his thing, and that's enough.
Exactly. That's all you got to do. You just put throw the grains of salt at it, but you don't need to bring in Kim Kardashian's former co-star.
So there's some sad news in Hollywood.
Yes.
Ariana Grande and Pete Davidson, the wedding is off.
Yes, they split up. Some of the brightest stars shine for just a moment. No word yet on who will get the cocaine in the split.
That was like one of the weirdest, and maybe it had to do with the Mac Miller thing too, right?
Well, yeah, because she's going through stuff, and he's going through stuff, and he's, you know, they claim he's not on drugs, but come on. Come on.
He's a comedian. He's on Saturday Night Live.
He's wearing makeup on Saturday Night Live, and he still looks coked out of his mind, allegedly.
But that's sad, right? You know,
it's sad.
It was one of the oddest pairings ever.
Yeah.
That
environment, that SNL environment, definitely is, I don't want to say it encourages drug use, but it certainly lends itself to drug use. Because it's really intense, like the late night writings.
Absolutely.
And
7 days a week, nonstop.
And sometimes coffee just doesn't do it, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, they split up, and Ariana had to put a Band-Aid on her tattoo. It's
that's sad.
Tragic American romance.
It lasted, what, 7-8 months, tops?
I think you're overselling it. I think it was just 7 or 8 weeks.
Right. So what's coming up next?
Please take note of how much more exciting these 7-game series are on the next episode of I Still Hate the One Game Wild Card.